Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey friend, and welcome back to my channel. Today we're going to be talking about why imposter syndrome is an imposter. But first, if you are new here, my name is Dr. Shala Walker. I am your Bible study bestie, and I help high achieving women learn how to live mentally, emotionally, and spiritually well, utilizing the Word of God as our anchor so you can go out and make disciples, because all of us are a part of the body and we have a job to do. So if that sounds like something that you are interested in or that you need, go ahead and click that subscribe button, that notification bell, so you never miss a video. Now, let's get right into it. Imposter syndrome, by definition, is a psychological experience or phenomenon that is characterized by persistent self-doubt, feelings of inadequacy, and the fear of being exposed as a fraud despite one's skills, accomplishments, or qualifications. Individuals that experience imposter syndrome often attribute their success to luck or external factors rather than their abilities, feeling that they don't genuinely deserve their achievement. This phenomenon is commonly seen in high achievers and perfectionists. Okay. And it shows up professionally, academically, and personally. Now, you may think that I'm trying to be clickbaity when I say that imposter syndrome is an imposter, but I'm not. There are two ways or two places where I go for evidence. Okay. My first place for evidence is always the Word. Okay. This is top tier. This is gold standard. This is where we go to first. When I talk about evidence-based practice, I mean this first. And then I go to the science. Okay. I want you to know that imposter syndrome is not in here. Imposter syndrome also is not a clinical diagnosis. It is not in the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for helping us accurately diagnose clinical diagnoses. Imposter syndrome is an imposter. It is a tool of the enemy utilized to attack your identity and to get you out of position. And so that's why you may be in therapy trying to work through imposter syndrome. But if you don't understand the root spiritually, you're going to put a Band-Aid on something that needs to be eradicated. Okay. How do we know and how do we recognize this? Because I want us to understand the difference between it being a phenomenon and a clinical diagnosis. In the definition alone, there are three ways that we understand that imposter syndrome is an imposter. First is that it causes persistent self-doubt. Doubt is one of the main communication tools of the enemy. That's why in Genesis, when he was talking to Eve, he said, "Did God really say?" Because he wanted Eve to doubt not only the instruction that God gave her, to doubt the Word, to doubt her faith, to question her faith, which is God's persuasion of what he said to do and your response to that. He wanted her to doubt that, but he also wanted her to doubt the character of God. God just is withholding something from you because he don't want you to be like him. Doubt is one of the main communication strategies of the enemy. And so anytime there is persistent self-doubt, something that is ongoing, you know that's the enemy. Next, the feelings of inadequacy. The enemy would love nothing more but to make you feel inadequate. For to point out that you are lacking something, to point out that without the stuff, you have no value. Without the stuff, you wouldn't serve the Lord. How do we know that? Because he did it in the book of Job. He went to God and said, if you took all of your stuff away from him, he would curse you to your face. He is crafty, but he is not creative. And then finally, the fear of being exposed as a fraud. Fear, we already know, comes from the enemy, the spirit of fear.
Okay. I'm not talking about like fear, common sense fear, where it's like, oh, there's a train coming, get out the way. Not that level of fear. That fear has a function. It's to warn you that this is not safe. The spirit of fear paralyzes you. It is a perversion of what God instilled on us to have enough common sense to not go and stick your hand in a hornet's nest. Okay? That's different. The spirit of fear makes you overthink. It gives you analysis paralysis. And so the Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The second part of this fear of being exposed is that the Bible literally tells us that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. So this is how we know that imposter syndrome is an experience, but it is not a clinical diagnosis. And we know exactly where it's coming from. It's the enemy. We have to be able to identify these things that clearly as believers, because if we are not careful, we will take things like imposter syndrome, because a phenomenon by definition is something that we all socially experience. And because it resonates with you, you'll take it on as an identity, but it lacks the concrete structure for it to be a clinical diagnosis. A diagnosis has structure. And so I really want to break this down because I want us to understand that every clinical diagnosis isn't a demon and every circumstance is not part of your identity. The only things that are part of your identity is what God said is a part of your identity. So even if I have a diagnosis, like I have ADHD, I do. That is not a part of my identity. It's something that I have. It's something that I have to steward over. It's something that I need the Lord's grace to give. Okay. It's a thorn in my side a lot of times, but God gets the glory, right? The Bible says in John 9:3, it talks about how the blind man, it wasn't because of the sins of his parents or the sins of his own, but some of these things, these conditions that we experience, these diagnoses, it's so that God can get the glory out of our life despite that. Okay. So don't hear what I'm not saying. Every clinical diagnosis is not a demon. Okay. Okay. Imposter syndrome is not a clinical diagnosis. Imposter syndrome is an imposter. It is presenting itself as something that it's not. It is a phenomenon, meaning that it is socially experienced. Whereas a diagnosis is clinically recognized, there's specific criteria, there's symptoms, there's standards. Imposter syndrome is not that. A phenomenon is typically descriptive based on patterns noticed and self-report. Whereas a diagnosis, there's rigorous scientific study, clinical trials, and evidence-based criteria. A phenomenon has all of these kind of like random treatment approaches, but there are no guidelines. Because it's not classified as a condition. Okay? Whereas a diagnosis, there's treatment plans, medication, a combination thereof between medication and therapy, and it's tailored to the individual needs. But there is evidence that lets us know that this is the strategy. So there are people who deal with things like binge eating disorder or self-harming, right? Dialectical behavioral therapy is a different kind of therapy separate from cognitive behavioral therapy that has been proven that this is the type of therapy that we use for people that have, like, let's say, eating disorders. Because there's evidence to prove that. Versus with imposter syndrome, there is no straightforward, hey, this is what you do. Until now, because we've been dealing with it or trying to look at it from a clinical standpoint, but it's not a diagnosis. It's a phenomenon. It is something that is spiritual in nature. And I want to read this to you. It says a lot of times that phenomenon are self-reported and lack structure. And so they can be over-identified or accepted as who I am rather than an experience. This can lead people to attach themselves to a label that may not fully apply or even exist clinically. A lot of us have allowed this experience to exalt itself above the knowledge of God because we are not adhering to the wisdom, to the evidence that we've been given in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 that tells us to take everything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and to make it submit to Christ, submit to the word of God. And that means we have to get in our word. So here are some symptoms of imposter syndrome that you may be familiar with. And I want to give you some biblical perspective, okay? First, the persistent self-doubt. I'm not good enough for this. When the Bible tells you that you've been created for good works. Fear of being exposed as a fraud. When the Bible tells us that our identity and our freedom comes from us being in Christ. I don't have to be found out when I've been redeemed. I don't have to be found out when I'm a new creature in Christ. Downplaying your success. Okay. Proverbs 16 and 9 talks about how the ways of man, like we can make plans, but God establishes our success. His way is what's established. Anytime you're downplaying your success, that is not humility. And I think that we confuse the two. Humility is me giving up my self-governance. Like I could choose my way, but I'm going to choose what God told me to do. I'm going to give up me choosing me. That's what true humility is by definition in the lexicon. Giving up your self-governance and submitting to what God says to do. It is not you downplaying the seed, the fruit that God has in your life. That's not humility. The Bible says that we are to be as bold as lions. It's not adding up. So we've taken on this perverted version of humility, and it leaves us dealing in this imposter syndrome because the enemy is after your identity. I will never downplay the accomplishments that God has allowed me to accomplish. I'm not going to downplay the seed that he's planted on the inside of me. Yep, I will find the answer to a thing. I have a level of intelligence that people sometimes are impressed by. I'm a little smart, okay? Period. That's why I got these papers hanging on my wall. God allowed me to do that. When you are discrediting positive feedback, you don't know how to take a compliment. When the Bible tells us in Romans 12 and 3 that we are to assess ourselves and understand our abilities and have sound judgment in our abilities. Our abilities and having that sound judgment is not just in your weaknesses, but also understanding your strengths, because then you can allow the Lord to leverage them. When you stop denying that this is a strength. But we want to call ourselves being humble. That's not humility. It's goofy. Okay? Comparison. The Bible tells us to mind our own business, which is crazy. It's in Thessalonians. Like, mind your own business. But also for us to carry our own load. And we have to really understand that all of these symptoms, the Bible gives us a prescription for them. And I think that it's because we don't understand how deeply rooted this is with attacking our identity that we don't take this as serious. Okay? All of these things, the persistent self-doubt, fear of being exposed, downplaying your successes. These are all strategic attacks against your identity. And the enemy has been against your identity since the beginning of time. Like, it is intense. That's why in Matthew 4, when Jesus is in the wilderness being tempted by the enemy, he says, if you are the Son of God, do X, Y, and Z. Not because he didn't know who he was. The enemy knew that that was Jesus. Jesus said, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. They were well acquainted, but he was trying to attack that humanity that Jesus was operating in because he was wrapped in flesh and he wanted to challenge him in his own identity. If you really are the Son of God. because the enemy knows who you are, even if you don't. And that is how imposter syndrome is dangerous. And so taking on the identity of having imposter syndrome so casually puts us at risk for allowing the enemy to have a step outside of who God has called.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Thus to be. What does that look like? It looks like challenging your self-worth. Imposter syndrome, it makes you feel like you are unworthy. It makes you feel like you're not enough. When Psalm 139:14 says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, because our worth is established by God's creation and love, not by our achievements. That's an identity issue. Go over and look at the self-concept theory, where it says that our sense of self-worth is based on the core beliefs of who we are. The enemy uses imposter syndrome to implant beliefs that we are unworthy, and it creates insecurity, and it pulls us away from God's value system, right? Our God-given value. The self-concept theory is like evidence-based research. So the Bible and the evidence adding up. Your purpose and your calling. When you are operating in imposter syndrome, it leads you to a fear of not fulfilling your purpose or making everything feel like it's a mistake. So now you hesitate. Now you're disobedient. Now you're stepping outside of God's plan because you want to do what's safe and what makes sense to you. But Jeremiah 1:5, didn't God not tell us that he knew us before he formed us and set us apart? So the purpose that you have is predestined. The purpose that you have was planned. If you go over to Erikson's theory of identity, it talks about how purpose is central to your development as a human being. And the enemy uses imposter syndrome to create doubt and to stifle us from pursuing our God-given purpose by making us question if we're truly called. So I need us to really understand what's at play here. The enemy is trying to attack your identity. So imposter syndrome will tell you that your performance defines you, right? Because now I don't feel secure. It's creating insecurity. When Romans 8:38-39 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that his love is from his grace. Relationship is from grace. We are saved by grace for good works. We're not saved by good works. So our achievement is not what attaches us to the Lord. But then when you look at the identity theory and feeling secure, that is something, if you don't have a secure attachment style, it's foundation for your identity, having a secure attachment style. If you don't have a secure attachment style, you're going to be out here looking crazy and not being able to have good relationship. I'm going to do a video about how our attachment styles show up in our relationships with people and with the Lord. But all of this stuff, the enemy is leveraging imposter syndrome. So when he can link your self-worth in your performance, he's going to try to replace God's grace with the fear of you falling short. And now you don't even feel confident, not only confident in yourself or in the love that God has provided for you. The same way that he tried to tell Eve, oh, God is withholding from you. He's trying to plant that seed of doubt. And if we are not careful, we will allow imposter syndrome to do that. When the Bible tells us that the way that we are able to experience God's provision, his strength, is through our weaknesses. But you do everything to not feel or look weak in your own eyes because you're afraid of being found out. That is an imposter syndrome behavior. And it's a lie of the enemy, and it's a trick of the enemy. And more so than it just being an attack on your identity, the way that the enemy is doing it is through pride. Very subtly through pride. Because pride is not just showing up and you thinking that you're all big and bad. We often equate pride with arrogance, but I just told you that humility is not you downplaying the gifts that God is giving you. A lot of times what we do is we allow the enemy to use subtlety and craftiness to get over on us, because now you only associate lust with sexuality, but not understanding that the way that you chase in that bag, the way that you're going fervently after something, that is lustful behavior, because you have to study at the root of what this is. You have to understand what lust is, what pride is by biblical definition. And you do that by studying the lexicon. That approach will help you understand that imposter syndrome is a pride issue. So if you are struggling with imposter syndrome, here are some things that you need to work on. One, surrendering your self-reliance. Imposter syndrome often arises when we feel like we can't measure up by our own strength and you feel like you're not good enough. I just talked about this in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So we're supposed to be relying on the Lord. Okay. So pride can make you focus too much on your abilities, making you feel inadequate when you fall short. But true humility recognizes that it's not about your abilities, but God working through you. It's the fact that God will work through you even in your weaknesses is where you get to learn the most. But imposter syndrome is trying to rob you of that. And it's doing that because you're so prideful that you don't want to rely on the Lord. Okay, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about how I got ate up. And I'm trying to help you understand what it really is so we can deal with it. Building confidence in God's identity for us. These papers hanging on the wall do not make up my identity. I am a nurse, but it is not the totality of my identity. It's something that I do. There are things that are integrated into my behavior that's like, oh, you know, I think like a nurse. Like I have these things, but it's not who I am. I'm a child of God first. But imposter syndrome will often make you question your worth or make you feel unworthy of success. And it'll make you doubt your God-given identity. So you'll forget that God said that you are his masterpiece. You are his workmanship created for a purpose, and that our confidence should be in that identity and not in the papers that are hanging on your wall. That's what you forget. And so pride will shift you from being more consumed in focusing on what you do rather than who you are in Christ. Even without these papers on the wall, God still saw it fit for his son to die for me. Degrees or no degrees. Title or no title. Because of who I am, but more importantly, because of who he is, that while we were yet sinners, he loved us. That is what imposter syndrome is trying to keep you from understanding. And what's even more important, that self-focus makes you vulnerable to self-doubt. When you don't achieve these standards that you have created that are higher than the standards that God gave you. Perfectionism is demonic all in and of itself, because Jesus came because we could not be perfect. Holy Spirit is here because we don't have the ability to be perfect. We are being sanctified daily so that way we can show up perfect like Christ. Why are you trying to live up the standards that God does not uphold you to? God had to check me on that. He's like, Charlotte, you're trying to live by standards that I don't even call you to. Pride. Practicing gratitude and acknowledging God's grace. Imposter syndrome will make us downplay our achievements, feeling like we don't deserve them, instead of us seeing them as blessings from God. James 1 and 17 tells us that every good gift comes from above. Every good gift hanging on this wall, every good gift that I put on my body, the job, all of it's from the Lord. And so pride will make you think that you earned things rather than you received them. Because how many of us know that we can chase and chase and chase stuff, but some plant the seed, some water, but God gives the increase. And so if you're not careful, the pride that shows up as imposter syndrome will make you focus on what you deserve rather than you understanding that your personal accomplishments are provision from God. And now you can give gratitude and you can praise him for every, like, I am telling y'all, I'm going through school and the way my life is set up and the way that things are happening, I am not doing this on my own. These grades and all, like, no, like, God has given me the ability to get a daggone 94% on my last exam. Me personally, I don't know what happened. Okay. But I did what I could. I planted, I allowed the teacher to water, and God gave me the increase. Humbling yourselves in your view of perfection, imposter syndrome, striving for perfection because you're so scared of being found out as flawed when the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Pride disguises itself as perfectionism, leading us to believe that you have to be flawless in order to be worthy. But if we could be flawless, what Jesus come for? Okay. So then you fear mistakes rather than seeing them as a way for God to demonstrate his grace. You fear mistakes instead of you seeing it as a learning curve. You fear things that you should not be fearing, because the only thing that we should fear is being separated from the Lord, being outside of his will. You have to have more trust in God than you do in your imperfections or your ability to try to be perfect. And then finally, you have to trust God's call over self-doubt. Imposter syndrome is going to make you question whether or not God has really called you. But I told you, Jeremiah 1 and 5 has already established the fact that God knew us, created us, and set us apart. So pride will make you overly focus on yourself instead of God's purpose. Okay? When you doubt your call, it shows that we are measuring our worth by human standards rather than trusting God's sovereign choice. So the same way that Moses was like, I stutter, so I can't go and talk. God said, who made the mouth? And more importantly, who gave you yours? That's the Charlotte Living translation. Who made the mouth and who gave you yours? I know that. So when God called me to do this, Charlotte, I know you got ADHD. I know. And I still said to go. I still said to record. I still said to set out and do the things. God knows, friend. He knows what he called you to do. And he's telling you to do it regardless. But the enemy is trying to stifle your identity. He wants you to take on imposter syndrome as a diagnosis, as an identity, instead of seeing it for what it is. It is the imposter. It's trying to show up as if it's some type of diagnosis, but really it's just something that you're experiencing, and you need to make it submit to what God has called you to do. You need to make it submit to the word of God instead of allowing it to exalt itself above who God has called you to be. And so I pray that this video has given you the wisdom and the strategy to do what God has called you to do. Do not fall victim to this lie of the enemy. Go to therapy, do the things, but we have some pride issues that we need to work on. We need to deal with our identity and really being established in who God has called you to be. You need to come out of being enamored with this self-idealized life that you've created that you're trying to compare yourself to and where you should have been and where you're not. And I did a video on that recently, and I'll drop it there down below in the comments, or not the comments, child, the show notes, whatever. The video description. I podcast and do stuff, okay? You know where to find it. I'm tired. So I pray that this video has blessed you. I'm also going to drop the video about overcoming negative thinking and negative self-talk as well, because I really think that it is critical that we understand what the Lord is saying in this season, I think it's critical that you understand how imposter syndrome is eating you up and why you cannot take it into 2025. So if this video blessed you, let me know in the comments. If you have any questions, anything that you want me to explore further, let me know. I love you, friends. Share this with somebody who needs it. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel, hit that notification bell, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.